But he'd fed them there and sent them away. And we're going to take a reading lesson that's very familiar in the day, and we're going to try to get to where our thought lays here after a while, the scriptures. I told you I'd try to study upon, and I've seen some things in them that I've never seen before, and maybe I've been changed a little bit through conviction this week and some of the things that I'd saw some things there before. So y'all pray for us. And it says in the 21st verse, and I don't mind, I thought about this a lot, how to name this. If you're going to put a title, Brother Laren, he'll title these sermons in there, on our website. And a whole lot of we're going to be talking about today is Peter. But I believe it had to do with a whole lot of all of us also. But it's going to be, I guess, if we give it a name this morning, it'd be For the Love of Christ. And I pray that we'll take it and use that in a way. You'll hear it used a lot of times in a way I don't think is correct. When people are fussing or murmuring. But I want to use it today that I believe it would be a correct way to use it. For the love of Christ. It said in the 21st verse, and after they had eaten, were about 5,000 men beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side. And while he sent multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and was boisterous, and he was afraid, and he began to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And with the mistakes we made reading, that's reading down to the 31st verse, and we find there where Jesus had sent them out of before him on the water, on a little ship, and we find where he went up and prayed, and then after he had prayed, he come and he walked upon the sea. And we find where the disciples saw him coming, and they was afraid, and it was a spirit or something, and they was feared. And he told them to be not afraid, it is I. And when Peter heard his voice, he said, "Lord, if it be thee, be thou, bid me to come." And I used to think that Peter maybe just wanted to be just a little show off, maybe in that he wanted to just walk out on the water a little bit, that he'd be able to do a little something there. But I don't believe that. I believe that Peter had a love for Christ, and he saw him coming, and he was afraid. He was scared in the position they was in. No doubt, the waves and the storm was there before he stepped out there. It wasn't just something that happened when he stepped out, I believe, on the water. I believe he was afraid, and I believe he knew the one that was able to take care of the things, one that his soul loveth. And I believe he headed towards the one that he had a love for and a desire for. And I want you to know, people, this morning, when we are afraid, when we are fearful, the only one I know to go to is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. But Peter had a love for the Lord. It wasn't just about him being able to walk on the Lord, on the water, but he had a love and he wanted to be with him. I believe in all my heart. The Lord is trying to wake us up. We're in a storm today, and he's trying to let us know that he wants us to come to him. Go to the one that our soul loves us. I'm going to take for a text over here out of the Songs of Solomon, a very much a love story. It says in the 8th chapter, the last chapter of that, in the 7th verse, it says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. And if a man would give all his substance of his house for love, it would not utterly be contemned. I want you to know what that means there at the last. You give everything you had, you can't buy love. You can't buy the love from Christ. But it said it can't be quenched. It can't be drowned. The love that God has for us cannot be put out. And I want you to realize the love we should have for God shouldn't be put out. When everything is going on, when you're fighting the biggest battle of your life, do not let the love of Christ be drowned. Do not let it be quenched. Don't let it go out. It can't be. You know why? It comes from God. That's the kind of love that no man can buy. That's the kind of love. We love him because he first loved us. That's the kind of love that will last eternity. That's the kind of love that you can't drown. That's the kind of love that Peter had for Jesus. And I pray that's the kind of love that we have for him today. Peter, like many of us, a lot of times he was quick to open his mouth. They need to be slow to speak and quick to hear. You ever had that trouble? Your life, you say you ain't. I've had that trouble. We all do. A lot of times we speak up when we should be listening. But I want you to know Peter loved the Lord. In the 26th chapter of Matthew, after the Lord had gave the Lord's Supper and on his way to the Mount of Olives to pray, he made a statement unto them before then. Then Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I'll go before you in Galilee. Listen to what Peter answered and said. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I want you to remember that. Though all men might be offended, I will not. I want you to listen. Peter didn't just say that out of arrogance. Peter said that because he loved Jesus. That's why he said it. He said it because he had a love for Christ. And I believe he meant what he said. Peter, when he said that, he meant what he was saying. He felt like he could keep that. He felt like, I don't matter what everybody else does, Lord. It don't make no difference what the rest of them do. I'll not be offended. I'll not deny you. I'll not turn away. I want you to realize we need to be careful when we make statements like that. Because I want you to know, especially when it goes contrary to what the Lord Jesus says. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. But Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. And listen what happened. Likewise said all the disciples. Listen to me. How Peter had an influence upon people. A lot of times us that are preachers, our pastors, we have an influence whether we want to or not. We do. And a lot of times, I will tell you, when we're wrong, a lot of times other people follow us in our error. I've been listening to me. That's what happened there. Peter had a love for Christ, and he thought he could make it without denying him. He thought he could go all the way with Jesus, but he couldn't do it. And because he done that, the others said likewise. They said, we'll go with Peter here. We'll not deny him. That was love. That was love. It wasn't arrogance. It was love. It was a love they had for the Savior. It was a love they had. They thought they would never turn away. They thought it's no way they would be like the ones when he said there was many hard sayings, they turned and went away. He said, will you go also? And they said, why else will we go? Thou have the words of truth. I want you to know the words of life. And they still wasn't going to turn away. They was willing to go all the way. Then we find, and we all this is very familiar, and we're going to get to our thought in a little while. Then we find, after Jesus, they was leaning back and forth to the courts, carrying him back and forth, and it was coming daylight. Having to mock trials, accusing him of things falsely. The only thing they could find guilty to him is when they asked him, they said, are you the Christ? Are you the one? And he said, I am. And they have crucified him for blasphemy. But it was not blasphemy. It was the truth of God. It was they still found nothing wrong with him. Listen to me. Now when Peter was without the palace, and a damsel came unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus at Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Listen to me. This is the one that walked on water to get to Jesus because he loved him. This is the one said, although all men may deny you, I love you, Lord. I love you and I'll never turn back. Even if I have to die, I'll die with you. And he meant those words. They wasn't just coming from his mouth. His heart was far from him. He meant them. And after a while came another unto him that stood by and said, pretty Peter, surely thou also art the one of them, for thy speech bewareth thee. And then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I want you to realize that killed Peter. It broke his heart to know that he had done exactly what the Lord Jesus told him he'd do. It broke his heart that he'd cussed the Lord. It broke his heart that he denied him. And he went out and wept bitterly. His heart was broken. He had a love that couldn't be drowned. He had a love that couldn't be quenched. He had a love that was real. And it killed him. You say, well, why did he do it if he had such a love? Listen to me, I'm going to tell you in a little while why he did it. A lot of us, a lot of times, we say a lot of things. I've heard people come and stand up in church and after they've been around a while and say, I'm back and I'm staying this time. I'll never turn back to this old world again. Y'all, I'm here now. I'll never turn back. I've heard that over and over down through time. As soon as it gets a little tough, as soon as it gets a little rough, those same people, you won't see them. And they meant what they were saying. I believe they had the love of Christ in them, the love of the church in them. I believe they meant every word they're saying when they're saying it. But people get offended from time to time by the Word of God. Some get just some things happen in life and they miss a Sunday or two. Next thing you know, they don't come back. But listen, there's a love in us that can't be put out. And I'm thankful for that. It can't be drowned. It can't be quenched. I'm standing out here on the right. It's just as much standing. They asked me, they said, you want to preach inside this morning? If I was afraid to stand and preach in the rain, today wasn't the day to do it. If you're going to preach on a love that can't be drowned and can't be quenched, you don't need to hide from the water. Let me tell you something, people. We need to serve God. Now, I want to get to where our thoughts lie. Y'all pray for us. I want to read the 21st chapter of John. Start from the beginning, read down to about, I don't know, we could read on down further, but we may just read about the 15th verse. It's according to how the Lord leads. I think we need to follow the Lord. But it said, this is after Thomas, doubting Thomas. We talked about him a little bit last Sunday when we preached on faith. We talked about how he said he wouldn't believe until he put his finger in his side and into his nail-scarred hand. But this is after that, how Jesus had done been seen at different times. And it says after these things in the 21st verse, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples in the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and the night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood at the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Does this remind you of a time when Jesus was out there and they was on a boat and they didn't know it was Jesus that was there? And then said Jesus unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast ye net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. And they cast there for, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as they were 200 cubits dragging the net of fishes. And I want to stop there before we read any further. We find here, therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fishers coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Listen to me. I've dealt in the past when the Lord showed up there and it said that he was naked, and Peter was ashamed because where he was at. And he may have been, I won't say that, but it said he took his fisher's coat and put upon him. I want you to realize he dressed himself. And you know what else it says? He cast himself into the sea. I used to think once again, Peter was trying to hide from the Lord. But I don't believe that no more. I see it a little different now. I want you to know, I believe he had a love for the Lord. I believe he wanted to get to the Lord as fast as he could, just like he did before. I believe he had a love for Jesus. When he saw him there on the water, he said, bid me to come. If it be thou, thee, bid me to come. And he did. He bid him to come. And he come. He stepped out on the water. Listen to why I believe this. I believe it said there was about 200 cubits. You know how far it is. A cubit is 18 inches, and from the tip of your finger to your elbow, a normal man, that's 18 inches. 200 cubits would be 300 feet or 100 yards. That's how far away they was when Peter jumped in the water, and I believe headed towards Jesus, because here's why I believe it. And when the other disciples came in a little ship. Listen, you hear what it's saying? When the other disciples came in a little ship, they didn't come the way Peter come. I ain't saying Peter walked on water all the way there. He may have, and don't say he either swam or he walked. I don't know, but I know this. He didn't go with them on the ship. He wanted to get to Jesus. He knew it was going to take a while for them to drag all those fishes to the shore. He didn't want to waste no time. He had a love for Jesus. He had a love like we don't know. Sometimes I think we forget what Jesus has done for us. Peter hadn't forgot. He hadn't forgot. It hadn't been drowned. It hadn't been quenched. It was a love from God that'll last throughout eternity. He didn't want to ride around. He threw himself in the water. Now, won't you pay attention? Wind keeps blowing my Bible around. That's all right. Jesus knows about that. And the other disciples came in a little ship. They were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging a net with the fishes. And as soon as they were coming to the land, they saw the far of the coves there, and the fish lay there on and the bread. And Jesus said unto the break of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all three there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Amen. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples just asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Amen. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself unto the disciples, and after he was risen from the dead. So when they had died, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, listen, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. Now listen to me. There was two things, points I wanted to make that I'd never noticed before. Maybe I'm the only one that never noticed before that Peter didn't go with them on the ship and to the shore. Maybe all of y'all noticed, and that's fine. I'm slow sometimes, but I've never noticed that Peter wasn't going to wait for them. He cast himself off the ship, and he headed towards the Lord. Listen, then he asked, he said, "You lovest thou me more than these?" And I've always felt like he was talking about the fish. I've always felt that way, and it may be, I don't know. But I can't help from wondering now. If Jesus, when he asked Peter this question, he said, "Do you think you love me more than these?" He was talking about the other disciples. Now, do you love me more than they love me? Have you got a greater love for me than they have for me? Peter went down this road once. He said, "Though all men may deny you, though all men may turn away, I will not deny you. I love you, Lord." And because of that, I want you to know the others went along with Peter and they followed him in that lie. I want you to realize, why was it a lie? Why did he say it? Why could he not keep it? One simple thing. Jesus said, "For it is written, I shall smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall scatter. All shall be offended in me." You know what Jesus went on and told Peter after? He said, "Lovest thou me more than these? You have a greater love. You still think you got a greater love for me than them?" He said, "Feed my lambs." You feed them the Word of God. For as it's written, our opinion don't mean nothing. Peter had an opinion that even though the Word of God said all men will be offended and all the sheep shall scatter, Peter had offended, "Not me, Lord, not me." You cannot fight against the Word of God and not win. "Lovest thou me more than these? You love me more than they do?" Peter thought he did it one time, but you know he never did answer and say, "Yay, Lord, I love you more than they." All he could say was, "You know I love you." He knew he had done failed once. He knew he had done failed in the matter once, and he wasn't going to fail again. He knew if he jumped up and said, "I love you more than anybody else," he knew that they would jump up and say, "I do too, Lord." And he knew he done got in trouble once. I don't know how much you love the Lord. I can't look in your heart. And you can't look in mine. But I believe old Peter proved how much he loved the Lord. I believe he showed him. When he stepped out on the water, when he cast himself off in the sea, and right now today, Peter went on and fed the lambs. He went on and fed the sheep. He finished well. He messed up a lot. Jesus told him, "Satan desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for thee." He desires to sift us as wheat, but he's prayed for us. When he told the disciples, he said, the things he must suffer. You know, Peter was the one that jumped up and said, not me so, Lord. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." You know why? Because it was written. It was according to the Word of God that he would suffer and die. It was according to the Word of God that all men would be offended in him. And they would deny him. So let's not serve the Lord in without service. Amen. Let's serve Him indeed. You want to say you love the Lord?
Show him you love him. Show him you care for him. Don't let our faith get so weak that we ain't willing to cast ourselves out into the water that can't drown the love that comes from Christ. That can't drown the love that we have for Christ. It cannot be quenched. I hope somebody got something out of this today. Lovest thou me more than these. I love you today. And my prayer is God will bless you and your families. My prayer is when this is all over, that he'll find a faithful people that's still hanging on, that's still loving him, that's still willing to go all the way with him. Thank you for coming for this service today. Not come to hear me. If you come to hear me, you didn't come to hear much. But thank you for coming to serve the Lord. And thank you for coming to be in the service of the Lord. We love you. That's my message. Blow ye horns. Blow your horns for Jesus. Blow your horns for Jesus. Blow it for Jesus. A love that can't be drowned. A love that can't be quenched. That's the kind of love that we have. Blow your horns for Jesus. Thank you. Learn, said it's back on me. Thank you for coming. I appreciate your prayers. I'm thankful for liberty. It don't make no difference where we stand. If we'll stand with God, we'll have liberty. Thank you for coming. I love you. Love you. I watched a movie the other night. It was a good movie. Greater, I believe it was called. It's on Netflix. If you get a chance, if you like any kind of sports movie, especially watch this movie. It's based on a true story. It's called Greater. It's about a young man that wanted to play football for the Arkansas Razorbacks. And he was like me. He was a little short, chubby boy that nobody had no faith or confidence that he'd ever mount anything. And this young man started practicing, and he put his faith in God. He got saved. The best you can tell, I don't know what happened, but I want to think he got saved. But he put his trust in God, and he kept studying and worshiping God, and he kept putting forth the effort. Those that don't work can't eat. I want you to know this young man kept working and laboring. But he ended up getting to play football for the Arkansas Razorbacks. He went on as a walk-on, and they said they didn't even want him as a walk-on. But he made it, and he ended up his senior year. He made a starter, and then he ended up being an All-American. And then that young man got killed in a car wreck before he got drafted to go in the NFL. But his faith never wavered. And when they had his funeral, it was a celebration of life. It was a celebration of love. It was a celebration of what God had done for him. But in that movie, when they'd go to leave, every time his mama and him would meet, when he was going back and forth from school, they would meet halfway in a little park. And when they'd go to leave, their cars would pull off, going one direction, the other, going the other direction. And they would stop, and they would break their tail lights or brake lights three times. I love you. And I couldn't help from thinking about years ago. I'll hush in a minute. But I'd done some work off down the other side of Carthage, off the interstate there. I'd got there, and these people, and I don't mean to talk about anybody, these people, they was living in a little trailer, and they done wrong with living in a trailer. Don't get me wrong. I lived in one for years. That ain't what I'm talking about. But they had no windows, and the doors was gone. And they had boards up yonder put up against the door. And they had straw and stuff in there, and the animals was going in and out. And there was a little boy there. He was so smart. He had so much mind about him. And his mom and dad, I don't mean to sound mean, but they wasn't hardly all there. But that little boy was so smart. And every time I had a question, I'd go talk to the little boy. And we was trying to get him a double wide set up there to have a place to live. And that little boy had sores all over him. He was in pitiful shape. And I felt so sorry for him. And the day we went to leave, that was the hardest thing I've ever done. I loaded that old backhoe up. And I put it on that trailer, and I hooked to that dump truck. And I started down the road. And that little boy walked out in the road. And he stood there. And he waved by. And I stopped. And I wailed. I couldn't stand the thought of leaving that little fella behind. I love you. There ain't a time hardly goes by that somebody don't wave to me by. I don't see that little blonde-headed little boy again. I love that you can't drown. I love that you can't quit. He's in that little boy. He's in that little baby. He's in that smile. He's in that wave. He's in us. Let the world see him in us. I'll hush this time, maybe. Anything on your hearts before we leave. It's been good to be here. Love you. Brother Lyon, we ain't been dismissing you. You were here to dismiss us.
Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for this God-sent message. We thank you, dear Lord, for the humble messenger that brought it in the way that it was brought, dear Lord. We're so grateful, dear God, to have felt it here today. We're so grateful to know that you can still meet with us wherever it is that we may be. And dear God, we're just glad to feel you this morning. Dear Lord, please be with each and every one of us as we go about our way, dear Lord, and let us keep you with us. Let us not deny you, dear Lord. But dear God, we know that even if we do, we can turn back to you in your open arms and you'll welcome us back in.
Yeah.
Like Marty said, you just call up, you've been out. You just enjoy it there together, dear Lord. We're thankful for that love that you've shown us, dear Lord. And we'd like to do a little better job of showing it back to you. But dear God, be with us as we go about our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.